So just as Carl talked to us last week about stewardship of the mind and encouraged us to think hard about the things of God, I'd like to continue with that and talk as well about using our mind for the glory of God. What I want to tell you today is that we have to use our minds to live a Christian life. We will live a life of defeat in sin, and we'll be conquered by sin if we do not think hard about God and His Word. There's no getting around this. This is a must-do. A Christian life of defeat is a sign that you are not using your mind to think hard about the things of God. Now let me show you this from the Word of God, and may encourage you to think deeply about the things of the Lord. So this year I've been going through the book of Romans, and Romans is absolutely incredible. In Romans 1 through 3, we see, through Paul, God's verdict on the world, and it's not good. All have sinned. We are all unrighteous. There is none without excuse. We are all toast because of our sin. And Paul spends so much time on this, our sin, because he wants us to be that much more thankful when the good news comes in. We need to understand and recognize the condition in which God saved us from. And then in Romans 3:24, the letter kind of takes a turn, and Paul starts to lay out the gospel of Jesus Christ, how we are saved by the work of the cross, how Christ's righteousness is imputed to us, the believer. Chapters 4 and 5 are devoted to showing that salvation in God is obtained through getting Christ's righteousness imputed to us, which is received by grace alone, through faith alone, apart from any works of the law. And then in chapter 6, Paul addresses an objection. And the objection looks something like this. Paul, you just told me that I'm saved by grace. So all the sin that you just talked about in Romans 1 through 3 magically just disappears. So maybe I should keep sinning so that more grace may abound and you'll look that much better. And Paul says, no, that's not how it works. Paul squashes that idea real quick. The fact is that we have died to sin and we are alive in Christ. We won't go on sinning because we can't go on sinning. We are a slave to God. That's what chapter 6 is about. Then in chapter 7, Paul addresses another objection. Paul, you just told us in chapter 3 that for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in your sight. So you're pretty much telling me that the law is bad and evil. Okay, I get it. And Paul says, no, you don't get it. Paul shows us in chapter 7 that the law of God is holy, and it is righteous, and it is good. And the problem is when we hear the law of God, which is good, our twisted and sinful flesh produces rebellion in our heart towards God. That's the problem. So now comes the part I want to share about. In the latter part of chapter 7, we see this great picture painted of the divided man. Paul uses his experience as a Christian to teach us something about ourselves. Listen to Romans 7. This is verses 18 through 19. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And then Paul gives this statement. This is verse 22 through 23. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. So look at this divided person. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. That is a conflicted soul. And I know this is real for all of us. We've all experienced this. And there's two big things that I think we can learn from chapter 7 here. Number one is that we will never reach a point of perfection in our Christian life. We'll never be there and sinless, so we must never be arrogant and prideful. Second, we will resist sin more and more through the Lord and through His Spirit working in us, so we need not despair and be hopeless when we are overcome by the temptation to sin. So now that we 100% understand Romans 1 through 7, let me talk about the mind. This is what we're getting at. Verses 24 through 25. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So when Paul says he is serving the law of God with his mind, he means that God is renewing his mind and giving him a measure of victory over sin in his life. So let me show you practically what this looks like and why we need to use our minds to live out the Christian life. So we have those two problems that Paul's showing us. We can't be arrogant because we'll never be perfect. And this is pretty easy to understand. All we have to do is give an honest look at our past week, and we will see that we aren't perfect. And if that's not good enough, we can go to Pastor Mike and say, "Pastor Mike, I've arrived in the Christian life," and he'll knock us down right quick. But the second one, it is tough. We will experience more victory in our life over sin, but there's going to be temptations and sin in our life that might be reoccurring and coming about month after month and maybe year after year. And how do you not despair and be hopeless in those situations? And we got to use our mind, and this is exactly what it looks like. Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Thanks be to God." God is what delivers us from our realization that we are a wretched person. And we do this by serving the law of God with the mind. So let me show you what this looks like. So say we're dealing with lust, and we got a problem with lust, and it's just coming back year after year and conquering us and winning over us. What this looks like is you don't necessarily just go through the Bible and read, "Do not lust, do not lust, do not lust." You need that, and it's real, but that's not where it stops. We got to think hard about what actually happened in us. And to do that, we would go through something like Romans 1 through 3. We say to ourselves, "Man, I am sinning. I am being conquered by this. What do I do?" Romans 1 through 3. "For none is righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death." We got to get to that point, realizing that what we deserve the wrath of God. Romans 1:18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness." We've got to come to that point. And then we get to Romans 4, and we're like, "Oh yeah, Christ died for my sins. I have his righteousness through faith, just as Abraham got his righteousness through believing in God." Then we come to Romans 5, and we see the picture of Adam and Christ and how through one man's sin, we get one man's righteousness, which is Christ. And we say, "Oh yeah." And then we read Romans 5, and we read that before the foundation of the world, Christ died for us. And while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. We were living in sin when Christ saved us. That's amazing. Then we get to Romans 6, and we're like, "Oh yeah, I am a slave to God in righteousness. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. What am I doing?" And then we get to the divided man, and we don't feel so divided anymore because we've renewed our mind and thought deeply about what God said. And we move on to Romans 8, which says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus," and we say, "Booyah." So what this looks like is you don't just, when you're sinning, think, "Man, I'm sinning. This verse tells me not to do this, and I just did it." No. You think hard. You go through the gospel, and you think, and you realize that I am forgiven. Christ's righteousness is mine. There's no guilt in my life. There's no shame in my life. I've been made whole. And when you think about that stuff, and you remember whose you are, you will not be overcome by sin, and you will be able to have more victory in your life. And it is absolutely crucial to use your mind, and it's not easy. Going through Romans 7, I can tell you, it is not easy. There's so many confusing things in there. I go cross-eyed almost every day. But, man, it's been such a blessing, and it's been hard, and I've had to think long and hard about stuff, and it's just unbelievable when you dive into the Word of God and you experience victory in your life instead of defeat, and you don't feel divided so much all the time. It's just awesome. So I encourage you to think hard. If you're being overcome by sin in your life, go through and remind yourself what Jesus Christ did for you. Remind yourself who you are, whose you are, and that you're a slave to him, and you'll experience more victory in your life. So with that, let's pray for the offering, and let's pray for Heidi too. Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have given us minds to think deeply about who you are. Lord, you've given us the ability to dwell on who your son is, and Lord, think about sin and righteousness and all sorts of stuff, Lord. And through thinking on that, you renew our minds through your Holy Spirit, Lord. And that's what is needed to live a life for you, Lord. And I pray that we would all take that serious and we would all strive to know you more. And Lord, I'd like to also lift up Heidi, who is experiencing some pain and discomfort from having little Judah. And Lord, I'm so thankful for Judah and just the blessing he is, and he's healthy and happy. And it's just so fun being able to play with him and stuff, Lord. But I just really ask that you would touch Heidi, Lord. I don't like seeing her in pain of any kind, and I don't want to have to see her dealing with doctors and who knows what kind of treatment she would have to go to, Lord. I just want to see her made whole and not have to deal with any of that stuff. And Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you'd do it. And Lord, I'd also like to lift up the offering. I thank you for this church and the body, Lord, and I thank you for the people who give so generously. And Lord, I just trust that you are going to use this money for your perfect will. Lord, you're going to use it to further your kingdom, and you're going to use it to spread your name throughout the world. Lord, and I thank you for this day, and I say you continue to bless it, and your presence would be with us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.